Jesus had died. It was finished. The women Mary of Magdala and Mary, the mother of Joseph, watched as Joseph of Arimathea gently took Jesus' body down off of that cross, wrapped him in linen, and laid him in the tomb. And then they sealed that tomb with a giant stone that probably took 3 or 4 people to move. And then everyone left, for it was almost the Sabbath. As soon as the Sabbath was over, just as the sun was beginning to rise over the ridge, while it was still very early morning, the women, Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of Joseph, and Salome went back. They brought perfumed oils to anoint the body. Because when someone dies, it's helpful to do something, isn't it? In the face of the helplessness of death, we bring casseroles and flowers, tissue boxes and photographs. We share stories and we make tearful toasts over adult beverages. Because when somebody dies, we can't show up empty-handed. Even though Jesus had prepped them that this was going to happen, that he would die and in 3 days rise again, it didn't compute. It did not make sense. Even when they encountered that rolled away stone and empty tomb, it did not make sense. Even when this young person told them, "Do not be alarmed." The story ends with the women running away in terror and amazement. And despite the fact that they were instructed to tell the disciples and Peter, Mark writes, they say nothing. And this is where the Gospel of Mark ends. Risen Jesus does not appear to the disciples. There's no commission to go and make disciples or breaking of bread after that walk to Emmaus. It ends with fear and terror, amazement, and silence. People were so uncomfortable with this ending that they later tacked on another 11 verses. But I think Mark intentionally wants this abrupt ending. There's a reason this is our Easter morning story. For what is more terrifying than resurrected life? Death, as awful as it is predictable. People do not come back from the dead, and now Jesus is alive? Mark wants resurrection to unsettle us, to jar us off center and leave us dumbfounded. While it's impossible to put ourselves in the shoes of those women disciples that first early morning, the emotions and the energy of the story feel so real. And obviously Mary and Salome and Mary must have told someone eventually because we know about it, right? In the Greek, some scholars believe this gospel not only leaves us with this cliffhanger, but the story also leaves us mid-sentence. For the last word in verse 8 in the Greek is gar, which can be translated however. And so perhaps this last sentence reads, "They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid, however." Perhaps this is not meant to be an ending at all. The beginning of the Gospel of Mark says, it's the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so perhaps this whole gospel book is meant to be just that, the beginning of the story. And we, the listeners, take it from here. For dear ones, the good news is the story of God's love for us never has an ending. Not even death, a bloody, awful death full of suffering, abandonment, and rejection can stop God from loving us. We attempted to kill God and put the dead body in the tomb and roll this giant rock in front of it just to be safe. And even that could not contain Christ. For alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. There's nothing, absolutely nothing on earth or the powers of hell or anything in between can stop the love of God. No matter our fears, no matter our doubts, no matter our amazement, whether we run and hide and stay quiet because we don't know what to say, God's love is going to outlast it all. For Christ is unstoppable. And I have to apologize for this reference. It could be all the Sudafed I've been on this week. But the Easter story in Mark reminds me of that wonderful little lamb and Sherry Lewis's famous song. This is the song that never ends. Yes, it goes on and on, my friends. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was. And they'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song that... Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the 9 o'clock, sing along. But you get the point, right? It's going to be stuck in your head the rest of the day. But that's what Easter should do for us, too, because this is it. The song of God's love will never end. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And we are invited to sing along and proclaim its good news to a world stuck in fear and terror, clutching perfumed oils at all of the gravestones, for they think death is the end. But it's not. For alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Dear ones, whether you are buzzing with sugar and excitement of this beautiful day, or whether all of this leaves your tender heart swirling, or maybe you're somewhere in the middle, slightly skeptical, slightly hopeful, this song is not dependent on us. It lives and breathes through us, despite us, for us, and with us. Dear ones, this place of resurrection, it is just the beginning. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanks be to God.